VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. Ladies and gentlemen, the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. With our Second Amendment granting the right to keep and to bear arms, is it ever right for a Christian to shoot another individual? What about the scripture, one of the Ten Commandments, that says, thou shalt not kill? What about the scripture that says, turn the other cheek? And those that say, love one another, or vengeance is mine, I shall repay, saith the Lord. In all of this, aren't we supposed to just trust God? How can one claim to be pro-life and pro-gun at the same time? Isn't that a contradiction of terms? Should a Christian ever or even own a gun? Is there a difference between self-defense and vengeance? Does the Bible address these issues? Well, these are questions which swirl around in the minds of many, and that's our topic today here on Crosstalk. With us in studio is Pastor David Brown, pastor of the First Baptist Church in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. He has a master's in theology, PhD in history, specializing in the history of the English Bible, which we've talked about previous on the broadcast. Pastor Brown has recently marked 50 years in ministry, 40 of those at his current church. And Pastor Brown, good to have you with us today.
Yeah, it's great to be with you today, Jim, and to talk about this important topic.
Yeah, and you've heard this litany of questions I posed at the beginning of the program here today. And there are these and so many more that are in the minds of people, and we're going to address many of these. But first of all, you know the debate happening in our day where there are those who are calling for further gun control laws, saying this is what will prevent murders in our society today. Others say that gun control is the answer to violence. Do you believe gun control is the answer?
No, it's people control that's the answer, Jim, because you can make all the laws that you want to control guns, but criminals don't follow the law. And that's been demonstrated over and over again, that people who shouldn't have guns, who even have felony convictions, they are the ones who ignore the law, and they go out and get the gun, and then they perpetrate the crimes. Law-abiding citizens have a biblical right to self-defense and a Second Amendment right to self-defense as well.
So if we got rid of all guns, would that stop all murders?
No, if you got rid of all guns and stopped all murders, if you go to the FBI crime statistics, more people are killed with knives and hammers than they are with guns and with rifles, Jim. So, no, I mean, just look at going back before there was guns, Cain killed his brother. So, no, outlawing guns is not the answer at all.
Some would argue that God expects believers to be pacifists. Do you agree or disagree with that?
No. In fact, biblically, I can't agree with that. For instance, God is himself not a pacifist. If we were to look at Exodus chapter 15, verse 3, it says, "The Lord is a man of war." And here is a Hebrew song from the Hebrew songbook. David is singing and thanking God for teaching him to fight. David says in the Hebrew songbook, Psalm 144, verse 1, "Bless the Lord my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight." Despite all the other references in the Bible, there is not a reference in the Bible that tells us that we shouldn't exercise self-defense. In fact, it's endorsed. I know that there's Quakers and Amish and Mennonites and others who are pacifists, but even though they would claim a biblical basis, there's not a biblical basis for it if we're looking at the Bible.
So the Bible does deal with the issue of self-defense?
The Bible does deal with the issue of self-defense in numerous places. But for instance, I'd like to go a little bit further. A lot of people use Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13, which says, thou shall not kill.
That's one of the Ten Commandments.
That's one of the Ten Commandments for sure. But what is interesting is to clearly look at that word translated kill in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13. It is ratshak, and in the Hebrew, 14 times, Jim, in our King James Bible, it's translated murder. In Numbers 35, well, I could give them to you all. It's talking about slayer 17 times in the Bible. This commandment is which is prohibiting murder. It's prohibiting murder of every time. Not so in relationship to it's lawful to kill somebody in self-defense. It's lawful in a just war. Very clearly in the Bible, it is talking about that. Military service and law enforcement, they have three responsibilities. They're for protecting their citizens, punishing evildoers, and for promoting order. In fact, it says in Romans chapter 13 that government beareth not the sword in vain.
We're going to be circling back to these four circumstances in Scripture that you give here in this regard. But you said that the area of self-defense, that that it is lawful to take the life of another. What about turning the other cheek, though, that we have in the book of Matthew? I mean, doesn't that apply?
Yeah, it does apply if you're persecuted, if you're harassed. Yes, if somebody is harassing me and persecuting me, I don't have a right to pull out my .45 and plug him. No, you are to turn the other cheek when you're being harassed, when you're being persecuted. Mm-hmm. However, let's look at self-defense from a biblical perspective, if we might, and go to Exodus chapter 22, verse 2 and 3. It's not murder to defend yourself or your loved ones or your property. You have the right of property ownership and the right to protect that property. And let's take a look at that in relationship to Exodus chapter 22, verse 2 and 3. If someone broke into your home at night and the intruder was killed, the one who killed him was not guilty of murder. They're not guilty. You have the right to protect your property. In fact, somebody says, well, that's just Old Testament. Well, let's look at Luke chapter 11 and verse 21. It says, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. It talks about him being armed. Naturally, in the New Testament, there wasn't guns, Jim, but it's talking about one who is armed. And so you have the Exodus precedents. And I just believe very, very clearly, if you look at Nehemiah, in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, it says, they which builded on the wall, it says, and they that bear burdens, and those that laden, every one with one hand wrought in the work, and the other hand held a weapon.
Now, this is an important illustration you have right now from Nehemiah, because there will be those who advocate it's okay to have arms if you're in the military, if you're in the service of that nation as far as an organized military, an organized militia. But that's not what it was here in Nehemiah. These were common laymen that were the workers that were building the wall.
Yeah, they were building the wall, and they were they kept trying to come and kill them. They kept trying to come and tear down the wall. And so it says, for the builders, not military people, the builders, going on in verse 18 of Nehemiah 4, said, everyone had his sword girt by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. So when they saw people trying to come, trying to keep them from building the wall, they sound the trumpet, and guess what they did? They pulled out their weapon in self-defense, Jim.
What do we do with a scripture that says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord?
Yeah, it is not ours. It is not ours to get vengeance. That is true. However, if somebody is trying to molest somebody, the Bible is very, very clear that we're to go to their aid and help them. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the hearts consider it? And he that keepeth the soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his work? No. We're supposed to intervene. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 23 through 27. Verse 27, in view here, a woman who is raped and she calls for help. The verse says, there shall be none to save her. That's a great tragedy. We are supposed to try and go to the aid and try to protect, and if necessary, use armed help to stop it.
So you're saying it's right for a Christian to intervene in such situations?
Yes, I am. If I were to go out in the parking lot and I'm seeing somebody that has a board or a pipe and they're beating somebody up in the parking lot, I'm going to go to their aid, and I have a permit, and so I carry, conceal and carry. And I'm going to tell him to stop, and if he won't stop, I'm going to pull my gun. And then if he comes at me with the crowbar or whatever it is, and I'm in fear for my life, I wouldn't want to do it. I would yell stop, but yes, I would intervene. Yes, we are to intervene.
Well, let me circle back a little bit because I want to summarize some of our discussion here. We'll be talking about a booklet you've got available for our listeners on this. But you talk about four circumstances in the Bible where killing is not murder, and you've defined what that means, thou shalt not kill. But so those four areas, number one is military service and law enforcement. This is really government that's been established by God.
Yes, it is. And all you have to do is read Romans chapter 13 and verses 1 through 4. Government are charged with the responsibility to protect their citizens, punish evildoers, and to promote order. In fact, let me just read to you Romans chapter 13, and we can see this for ourselves. So Romans chapter 13, and we get in verses 1 through 4, it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." And then it says, "Whosoever resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation, for rulers are not a terror to good works but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same." And then it says this, Jim, in verse 4, "For he," the government, the military, "for he is the minister of God to thee for good. If thou do not that," or it says, "but if thou do that which is evil," here it says, "be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." I just want to tell you, I am reminded very quickly that January 27th is National Holocaust Memorial Day. I wish the Jews would have fought back, but I can tell you more about how the Jews respond today.
We'll be back in 1 minute. Pastor David Brown with us here today on Crosstalk, the Christian in Self-Defense. We're reviewing these four circumstances in the Bible where killing is not murder. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, Creation Seminar speaker at the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, did man come from the chimpanzee?
Chris, according to evolution, chimps and man came from a hypothetical ape-like common ancestor, the so-called missing link. Recently, an evolutionist claimed he found clues that the common ancestor of chimps and man walked upright. Therefore, the chimps who live in trees had ancestors which walked upright on the ground. Was evolution from the tree down or from the ground up? Chris, I don't think either ever happened. But you can see the lengths to which evolution must go to salvage their theory and try to accommodate new evidence. Chris, the evidence doesn't support evolution at all. Apes and men were created as is back in Genesis. There have been minor variations in both, but no evolution.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Pastor David Brown with us today, and we're discussing the Christian in self-defense. Right now, reviewing the four circumstances in Scripture where killing is not murder. We were talking about this area of military service and law enforcement and the role of government in all of this. And Pastor Brown, you were starting to make some comments here pertaining to the Holocaust.
Yes. On the 27th is International Holocaust Memorial Day. I've been to Israel about six times. I go about every other year, and WVCY of recent times has gone as well. But every time I go to Israel, they say never again. If the Jews would have fought back the first time, maybe things wouldn't have happened. But I find it real interesting. Anytime you go out on a school trip, the teachers are armed. They've never had an attack on their schools. They've never had an attack on their children. You know why? Because I go to all the places, and when you see a group of students, you have the teachers, all the teachers, male and female, are armed. I've been numerous places, and although when we get up towards the Western Wall and Temple Mount and all that kind of stuff, if a lot of people don't see this, but I've gone privately in there, and there's always a group of soldiers not far away. And if there's any kind of a disturbance, all of a sudden you have like 40 soldiers coming just out of the woodwork. They're all armed. They're not going to have any of that.
And isn't this also something that we are observing take place as it relates to looking in our history where Hitler disarmed the people?
Yes.
And we have seen even China make remarks saying the United States needs to, you know, somehow
yes.
redo the Second Amendment and take arms away from their people.
Yes, and it's happened in Australia, and it's a complete mess over there, and there's a rising murder rate, even though, supposedly the guns are gone, but they kill with other things. But back to the war thing for a minute. I found this in my reading. It was by Martin Luther. It says, "War for the sake of war is sin, but war for the sake of defense is duty." And that lines up with the Scripture. He goes on to say, "The power of temporal rulers is to be turned only against the wicked." It says, "to hold them in check and to keep them at peace and to protect and save the righteous."
Hmm.
That's where I stand. I am not for vengeance.
And that's consistent with Romans chapter 13.
That's consistent with Romans 13. I'm not for vengeance, for cold-blooded murder, for private malice. No, no, no. Self-defense when your life is in danger. So the first one's military and law enforcement. When a policeman has to shoot somebody, I remember the fiasco here. A policeman is being beat with a stick here, his own baton there, and so he defends himself, and there's a big, big mess and lawsuit over the guy defending himself when he'd been beat to death with his own stick. But secondly, Jim, we were talking about the capital punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Capital punishment is not murder. In fact, it was instituted in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, "Whosoever taketh a man's life, by man shall his life be taken." Of course, today that's relegated to government, but the law of Moses called for capital punishment in murder in Leviticus chapter 24:17, Deuteronomy 19. It called for it. Boy, things would change. It called for it for adultery. It called for it for rape. It called for it for incest and other things. But God allowed this for that. In fact, even said that's what should happen. And when somebody accidentally, that's the other thing, when somebody accidentally took a life, there was a city of refuge where they would be tried to see whether it truly was accidental. I have a tragic story of a person that I knew, but my mother had a friend, the friends that were twin, they were called Sonny and Bunny. At 10 years old, Sonny got a rifle and was fiddling with it, and he accidentally shot his twin sister, Bunny, and she died.
Mm-hmm.
A great, great tragedy, but it was accidental, and so he wasn't ever prosecuted. And then finally, we come to self-defense. So the military and law enforcement, capital punishment, that's not murder. Accidentally killing somebody, that's not murder, and then self-defense is not murder, to defend oneself, one's loved ones, or one's property.
Is it true that Jesus instructed his disciples to buy a weapon?
Yeah, he certainly did. He told them that in Luke chapter 22, verse 36, I'm just going to read it. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise scrip, money, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. You know that Jesus' disciples were armed because when they came for Jesus, you'll remember that Peter pulled out his sword and he was swinging for Malchus's head, I believe, missed and cut off his ear. And Jesus Christ told Peter to put up his sword, healed Malchus's ear. But the reason was Jesus knew that he was basically would be killed by everybody else. So one against all these people who came out with swords and staves to get Jesus. And that's why Jesus said, if this was an incident where I wanted to protect myself, Peter, you know, thanks, but no thanks. I could call 12 legions of angels. You figure that out. He could have called 81,600 angels. And you look at what one angel did to Sennacherib's army, he wouldn't have even need that. And if you remember, he wouldn't have even needed any of them because he said, I am, and what happened?
They all fell back.
Mm-hmm. So he says, this isn't the time, Peter. But he said, you know, if you don't have a sword, go buy a sword.
There's another dilemma some people have, and that is, can a Christian be both pro-life and pro-gun at the same time?
Oh, definitely so. You can be pro-life and pro-gun because, very interestingly, we are called to protect the helpless unborn because Proverbs 6:16 says, God hates the hands of them that shed innocent blood. Therefore, I'm against innocent life being taken of the preborn. I'm against the innocent life of the aged, the handicapped, the disabled, the mentally ill, and even innocent people that fall in between. I assert that it is a God-given right for every innocent human being to have life, liberty, and justice, and the right also to defend oneself against those who would take their life. And so it's a God-given right. Therefore, I am anti-abortion, I'm anti-infanticide, I'm anti-euthanasia, and I am pro-gun so that I can protect myself, my wife, my family, my church.
Some would indicate, though, that owning a gun indicates one's lack of trust in God. How do you respond to that?
Well, you know, why would then Jesus Christ told his disciples to go out and buy a sword? You know, I pray all the time, Jim, I pray all the time that God will protect all the parishioners that come in at First Baptist Church. But that doesn't stop me from having two armed security guards going through the church the entire time that we have services, Jim. I don't believe that it's a lack of trust in God at all. In fact, periodically at First Baptist Church, we have conceal and carry training classes. I've had six of them in the past. People are invited. And if anybody listening that's in southeastern Wisconsin area, when we schedule our next one, whatever that might be, they could just email me and tell me, and I'll email them and tell them when the next one is scheduled. But it's LTC Brown. That stands for Lieutenant Colonel Brown, because that's what I am. But LTC Brown. At hotmail.com, LTC Brown at hotmail.com. I don't have one scheduled right now, but if they're interested and they send me an email so that I can have their email the next time we have one, if they're in the Wisconsin area and they want to drive to Milwaukee or Oak Creek, then I'll let them know when it is, Jim.
Okay, again, that's LTC Brown. At hotmail.com, and that would be for information the next time that the church is holding a concealed carry class there.
True.
So there is definitely, taking a look at Scripture, definitely a difference between self-defense and vengeance, carrying out vengeance.
Oh, yes. It is completely, completely wrong to take matters into your own hand. I do not believe in vigilanteism and taking the law into your own hands. That is just wrong.
What should be our takeaway from all of this?
Well, number one, our takeaway from all this should be to pray for our nation. Because, for instance, here, I know this is listened nationwide, but for Wisconsin here, our laws are so, our judges are so liberal here, people who do perpetrate gun crimes, not shoot somebody, but they have a gun in a holdup or in a something like that, they often get off with no jail time. They don't need more gun laws. They need to enforce the ones that they have. We need to pray that God will work in people's hearts and lives, and they'll come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior so that they turn from their sin, they turn to Jesus Christ, and then it changes their life. But I do tell people it's not up to us to be a cowboy. It should be the last resort when our lives are in danger that we would ever have to use a gun in our self-protection. But we need to elect politicians who are pro-life, pro-gun, pro-capital punishment, Jim.
You have a short eight-page booklet that addresses this issue. Tell us about the booklet and how our listeners can obtain it.
Yes, all they have to do is stick a dollar bill in an envelope and ask for the eight-page booklet, What Does the Bible Teach About Self-Defense? And that's going to cover the cost of postage and printing it, the little booklet in our binding machine, and we'll just send it out to them. Not making any money on it, just a gift. If you'd send a buck, we'll send the booklet out to you. It covers postage and some of the paper costs.
Okay, and if you'd like to obtain it, again, just put a dollar in an envelope, and I'm going to give you a mailing address where you can send this to, and you can just ask for the booklet, What Does the Bible Teach About Self-Defense? Or if you say, send the self-defense booklet,
yeah,
they'll know what it is you're talking about. And here's the address. You can send it to David Brown, P.O. Box 173, Oak Creek, Wisconsin, 53154. Again, just put a dollar in an envelope just to cover the printing and help with the postage to David Brown, P.O. Box 173, Oak Creek, Wisconsin, 53154. And for some reason you're needing multiple copies for your area, just put a dollar in for each one, and that will be a help to cover the printing and the postage. Again, that's David Brown, P.O. Box 173, Oak Creek, Wisconsin, 53154. And just ask for that, What Does the Bible Teach About Self-Defense? Today, I'd like to open our phone lines, give you opportunity to call in. Maybe something has prompted a question in your mind. Maybe it's an issue you've been wrestling with and would like a response to it on this topic. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Do you agree? Do you disagree? We'd like to hear from you today. 800-733-9829. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
The phone rings and your heart stops. You look down at the screen and see the name of your dear friend who has been waiting for biopsy results. As your shaking fingers fumble to answer the call, your heart cries out a silent prayer. You immediately hear the shock and sadness in her voice. You know, even before she utters the words, it's cancer. What do you say? What do you do at such a time? You want to be supportive, but don't know how to. In the book, Loving Your Friend Through Cancer, cancer survivor Marissa Henley shares from her heart the struggles of cancer, but also presents very practical ideas on ministering to your friend or loved one with emotional needs, spiritual needs, tackling logistical needs, and far more to lend support. Loving Your Friend Through Cancer is available for a donation of $16 or more from VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Pastor David Brown is with us today. We're talking about the Christian and self-defense. We've got more that we can discuss between ourselves, but we'd like to hear from you and the questions you may have on this issue. And right now, the lines are all packed, so as you hear somebody hang up, that will be your opportunity to give us a call here at Crosstalk. We're going to begin in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. We have Bob calling in. Hi, Bob. You're on the air.
Hey, this is a question for Pastor Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I read in the Bible where it says that we as Christians are to obey our government and to follow the laws that are set before us. What if our government forces us to disobey God or becomes tyrannical, as in the Revolutionary War? They deemed that King George was a tyrannical leader.
Sure, that's a simple enough one. It would have to be clear in my mind, but Acts chapter 5 and verse 29 tells us who's our final authority. It says we ought to obey God rather than men. Happened to be the apostles were preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus, and they were instructed not to, and they beat them and said, don't do it. And then they just said, sorry. Well, they didn't say sorry. Quote, we ought to obey God rather than men. If they ever demanded that one of my daughters have an abortion, if it ever came to that, we would disobey because God likes the sanctity, not likes. God demands that we respect human life. And so I would never, I have two elderly, I have my elderly mother and my elderly Linda's mom as well, and they're needing more and more care. God decides when they live. God decides when they die. I will not ever be like some of the states who say, get two doctors together and then we can just shoot them and they can die. No, we ought to obey God rather than men. I take that too long. That's simple enough. That's what I mean.
Exactly. Perfect. All right. Well, thank you very much, Pastor.
Thank you, Bob, for your call. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Ron in Coshocton, Ohio, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Jim. My question is, I have a buddy, he's bipolar, and he's a Christian, and he was heckled out in public one time. How would he protect himself?
Well, that would be a place where I would believe that you would turn the other cheek. You'd just go, because there's no biblical precedence when you're persecuted for righteousness or when you're heckled to turn around. I would call the police and tell them the thing, but I certainly wouldn't be carrying a gun. Now, if they threatened my life, they started punching on me, he probably couldn't get a gun, but he could carry pepper spray. So that would
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ron. Keith in Kenosha, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi. I wonder how many people remember the incident back in, I think it was 2005, of the Living Church of God in Brookfield, Wisconsin. They were meeting at the Sheraton Hotel, and one of their own members opened fire on that group, and I think there was seven slain, including the minister's son, and I don't know who the other individuals were. A lot of people, I think, have forgotten about that. That incident.
Well,
I just wanted to know if you have any comments or
And yourself. Let's expand that, because there's been other shootings that have taken place in church as well.
Right. I just think of the recent one where thankfully there was a man armed in the church. There's two men armed in the church, but one was killed before he could. The guy pulled out a shotgun and blasted him, but one who was armed pulled out and shot him dead. And Bloomberg, who's running for president, said that there's never any reason for guns in a church. I disagree with that, because there would have been many, many more if it wouldn't have been for that armed man, because it takes an armed man with a gun to stop an armed man with a gun. Yelling at him isn't going to help. See, here's the liberals. Where I go and practice my shooting, there's a sign that says the theory of gun control advocates is that a woman found dead in an alley, raped and strangled with her own pantyhose is somehow morally superior to a woman explaining to the police how her attacker got fatally wounded when she shot him. You have to remember, they do not believe in the sanctity of life and the biblical right of protection, Jim.
Jim is our next caller. Hi, Jimmy, you're on the air.
Hi. I got a question for David. He mentioned earlier that he had a permit for concealed carry, and he used a self-defense scenario that if he saw someone being beaten with a pipe or a board, I believe he said, that he would draw his gun and tell him to stop. And if the guy stopped and came toward him with the pipe, that in self-defense, he would shoot him.
That's right.
And I agree with that. And but I want to know, if the guy didn't stop and he had drawn his gun and told him to stop and the guy didn't stop beating the person, what would he do?
Yeah, you know, each situation is different. I would probably kick him first or something like that. But if he continued to beat the woman where she was already in fear of her life, Lord willing, I would shoot him. He doesn't have a right to kill her.
Let's go to Brad next. West Dallas, you're on the air, Brad.
Hey, brothers. In Exodus 22, verse 2, it says, if a thief be found breaking up, which means breaking in, and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. That means whoever confronted him and attacked him when he was breaking in will not be charged. But in the next verse, it says, if the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. Now, if the sun be risen on him, that means it's during the daytime, I take it.
Yeah, let me explain that. What that's talking about is that what he would do is he would hold him there, and they would come and get the man, and the man would have to make restitution for what he had stolen. So he still tries to, it's daylight, the man is identified, people can see him, so he's supposed to stop him and hold him, and then the man who's broken in has to make restitution.
So the second verse is talking about you're being woke up in the middle of the night.
Yes.
Somebody busting in.
Yes.
And the third one is where you're awake and it's daytime and you catch him, but everybody knows who he is.
Yep.
So don't.
Because, for instance, let me just give you a modern day for instance. We have the Castle Doctrine in Wisconsin. If so, somebody breaks into my house and is going to cause me harm, and I shoot them, then I'm all right. But if he's trying to steal my car and I go outside, I could have my wife calling 911 and have my gun drawn and stop him from stealing my car. But if he steals my car anyway, I do not have the right to shoot him, because then I'll be in trouble. So there's different scenarios. You can't cover every scenario, and states are different.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brad.
Okay, thank you.
Brian is next. You're on the air, Brian.
Yeah, first of all, I wanted to thank you very much for covering this topic. My question is the situation going on right now down in Virginia with Governor Northam. I was curious what your thoughts are, where the government, in this case the governor, is, you know, changing the laws and pushing very hard to push anti-gun laws, and the people are completely opposing that. What's your thoughts on that?
Like, yeah, there's two things. Number one, next election, they need to vote the guy out, number one. Number two, when the Democratic, and remember, even in Wisconsin, what they want to do is they want to take our guns, they want to curtail Christianity. That's I'm just telling you what my political bent is. Each person has their own. But the fact of the matter is, the second thing, when they pass the law to do that, then it's going to have to work through the court system and be overturned. I am not for a civil war. I praise those people who showed up and protested. They did it properly, and despite some of the harassment they got, there was only one lady who was arrested who refused to take her hood off And so all the pro-gun people behaved themselves biblically.
Yes.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Christina's calling from Meridian, Idaho. Hi, Christina. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I was wanted to make a comment about a family with recent mental health problems on the father's side. And would you think it would be safe for someone like that, coming with that kind of background, to own a gun?
Thank you for the question. I would just want to say there is a broad spectrum of what is meant by mental health today, from somebody who may be depressed about losing a job or some situation, or some of those who are dealing with more significant issues.
While I'm not practicing, Jim, I hold a degree in psychology. I am against red flag laws because there could come a day when I am called mentally ill because I believe in salvation by grace through faith. I believe in a pro-life. I believe in capital punishment. So that's a very dangerous area, because how do you define that in relationship to the family itself? If there has to be a personal family intervention where there's depression and you're worried about suicide, then get the guns out of the house, take them to somebody else where they can lock them up or something like that. But I'm not for red flag laws because they can't properly define what mental illness is.
Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Peter in Burbank, California, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. So I just want to let you know, and I do have some Jewish friends out here in Burbank. They are for the Second Amendment. They're part of the Second Amendment Foundation. Also, an organization which I'm aware of now, it's called Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. And I'm like, thank you, Lord, for this. And they quote, is it 1 Samuel chapter 13? And it's basically, it states that it's about when how the Jews had to take care of the Philistines back then. And so I just want to just let you know that there are people of the Jewish faith who are very much for the Second Amendment.
Well, I'm very thankful for that, because, in fact, God wanted his people to protect themselves. And you're probably talking about 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 13. They were summoned to protect themselves from the enemy, and so all the Jewish people had arms and weaponry in 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 13. So they all went and got their weapons to protect their town.
Thank you, Peter, for the call. We're up against a break. We'll take some more calls right after the break today. Pastor David Brown is with us today. We're talking about the Christian self-defense. A reminder that if you'd like to obtain this 8-page booklet, a pamphlet here on this issue, send a dollar to cover the cost of printing and postage and mail it to David Brown, P.O. Box 173, Oak Creek, Wisconsin, 53154. Now, if you miss that, we'll be giving both that and the email address following this in the final segment here, so be ready to write those down. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. In our series on the dangers of having a discourse with the Marxist, we find ourselves at point number 5. When you willingly submit to the propaganda and manipulation of the group by the cultural Marxist, and their ultimate goal of reality or truth is defined by the group consensus, you're in a dangerous spot. See, when you surrender to that, what you're saying is group consensus decides what is true. The culture as a whole decides what is true. Now, this is totally against not only the Bible, because the Bible says that men will do what is right in their own eyes. It's against our constitutional republic, because our founding fathers said, we don't care what the majority wants. They called it mobocracy, the rule of the 51%. We care what are the laws of nature and nature's God, the moral law, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. But group consensus by the cultural Marxists, well, if they can get you to go along with that, you're agreeing that truth is defined by the group. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House.
What does the Bible teach about self-defense? Our topic today, and be ready to jot down an address as well as an email address, which we'll be giving out here in this final segment as well. We are going right back to the phone lines. Holding the longest is Charlie in Lodi, Wisconsin. Charlie, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you both for your excellent show. I just have some quick comments. I'm amazed at how many people who are anti-gun are pro-abortion, and I confront them in these stores, and I say, you want to deny me the right to protect innocent life, but yet you say it's okay to take innocent life, and it puts them on the spot. They get very frustrated. I was going to a church in Viroqua, and there was a sign on the church, in the Bible church, and it said no weapons allowed on premise. So I called them, got an answering machine, and I said, do you just obey some of the Ten Commandments or all of the Ten Commandments? The Constitution guarantees us the right to have a firearm will not be infringed. Why are you doing this? I'll never go to your church. I would encourage your listeners, as a combat veteran Marine myself, get a conceal and carry permit. Learn what you can about how to legally defend yourself. It cost me $100, but the information I learned was probably worth $200,000. Save you from getting in a lot of trouble. Sure. Buy a weapon and have someone teach you how to use it and be a responsible citizen. It's your duty. It's your duty to protect your country and your family.
Thanks, Charlie.
Appreciate your call here, Charlie. And again, let's just mention that you occasionally hold these carry conceal classes at your church.
Yeah, and periodically we do, Jim. And if anybody's interested, and I've already had somebody email me, it's LTC Brown, like the crayon, ltcbrown@hotmail.com. If you will email me the next time that we schedule a class, I will email you ahead of time to let you know that it's there.
James is our next caller. Hi, James, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. The question I had was, I read something not too long ago about the Virginia event and what the electors voting in the gun restriction. Is it true that they increased the vote? From what I read, it sounded like they increased the percentage of the vote needed to remove the law. I was just wondering if that was true or not.
You know, I have to plead ignorance. I have to plead ignorance on that. I really don't know. Do you know anything,
Jim? No, I know that they changed. The state went from red to blue in one of the legislative bodies here with a lot of money that was poured in by Michael Bloomberg, a recent guest on Crosstalk, brought that. But I don't know about any change in votes or vote totals in that regard, other than they received an increase in votes over past legislative attempts.
Yeah, well, what happened here in Wisconsin, though, is they put the pot thing on the ballot, and so that brought out a lot of people who normally don't. So we ended up with a Democratic governor because they put the pot agenda on the ballot.
Hmm. Thank you, James. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Ron in Tri-Cities, Washington. You're on the air, Ron.
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment about the governor in Virginia. He took an oath per Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution to protect the U.S. Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And by attacking our Second Amendment rights, as far as I'm concerned, he has made himself a domestic enemy of the Constitution. I think he should either change or be removed.
Okay. Yeah, I think they need to vote him out the next election for sure, or recall him. Recall him.
Ron, thank you for your call. Jim in Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Jim, and this is a subject that I've always been concerned about. And can you give me, like, scripture in the New Testament that would show me where I could use self-defense?
Sure. Just real quickly, Jesus told his disciples if they didn't own a sword to sell their coat and go buy one. We know that the disciples regularly carried swords with them because Peter, when they were coming after Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, pulled out his sword and was going to defend Jesus, cut off Malchus's ear, and Jesus says, this isn't the time or place, and healed Malchus's ear. So, yeah, it's clear enough when Jesus himself says, go buy a sword. That's pretty clear for self-defense.
Yeah, and you'll see more information as this item is developed in the booklet that he's offering. I will be giving the address for that here at the close of the program. Tim in Andover, Minnesota, you're on the air. Hello, Tim. Andover, Minnesota.
Yes, sir.
You're
yes,
on
sir.
The air very quickly.
Hey, I just really brief, Pastor Brown. You mentioned something earlier here about you believe that it's good for people in churches to have guns. I'm actually a firm believer in the Second Amendment rights too, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on this topic. Came up in our church recently, and my pastor brought up a really good comment saying that he believed that there could be a thing with if we carry guns, won't it bring like some suspicion to people who are new to church? Because we want to be welcoming to people who need Jesus and are coming into church, but wouldn't that kind of be a little bit of a conflict? I mean, again, I believe in the
Let me just answer that real quickly, if I can. Here's what I've told our people. I said I don't want to see anybody's gun. Even those who are on security duty, they don't see their guns. I said if you want to show somebody your gun, I'll give you the keys to my library, and you can go down and privately show somebody your gun or something like that. But the new people come into the church. I don't stand up in the pulpit and say, hey, we have armed security guards that are, and there's probably some people concealing. We don't talk about that at all. However, I am not going to post a sign that says this is a gun-free zone, because then that just invites people to come in and to accost you for that. So I just think that it has to be done discreetly. From time to time, I will talk about the issue, and I will announce when the classes are coming. But we don't go around talking about guns all the time. We're talking about winning people to Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. building them up in the faith.
Yeah, it's not about open display. It's
no.
concealed.
It's concealed.
That's the issue, but it's for the protection
yes.
of the body there.
Yes.
Thank you. We are out of time here. I wish we had more. I know we have more calls coming in here, but again, this booklet, What Does the Bible Teach About Self-Defense? You put a dollar in an envelope and request it as you write to David Brown, P.O. Box 173, Oak Creek, Wisconsin, zip code 53154. That dollar will just help cover the printing and the postage to you. And again, that's David Brown, P.O. Box 173, Oak Creek, Wisconsin, 53154. Thank you, Pastor Brown, for being with us.
Thank you for the opportunity, Jim.
And friends, thanks for joining us on Crosstalk. Get the booklet and examine from the Scriptures what the Word of God has to say on this issue. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.